All right, we have these three Rambams centering around our Gemara and the Gemara in Gittin. We spoke at really all the background information yesterday, but I'm going to begin by reviewing it. I do hope that in learning it this morning, although I didn't put the Gemara in Gittin on the Maram HaKoyim, I didn't give you a copy of the Gemara in Gittin, but it would have been the responsible thing to do, to take a look in the Gemara in Gittin. Let's go over what we learned from the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara over there, he said there are two things to know. One is that Hayotzei B'Shein V'Ayin, an Eved that's going free because of the loss of a limb, Tzarech Get Shechar, or Ain Tzarech Get Shechar? Does he still need to get Shechar in order to become Mutter B'Bas Yisrael? Avad, he goes free without, he doesn't need the master's cooperation for him to go free. That which he doesn't have to work for the master anymore, that's what he meant. But Lahatir B'Bas Yisrael, to make him Mutter, to marry B'Bas Yisrael, Tzarech Get Shechar, or Ain Tzarech Get Shechar? Rabbi Akiva says, Tzarech Get Shechar. Rabbi Tarfon says, Ain Tzarech Get Shechar. The Brisa brings another couple of Tanaim. This one says Tzarech Get Shechar, this one says Ain Tzarech Get Shechar. So it's a big machlokes Tanaim. On that, the Rambam paskins Tzarech Get Shechar, that Yosef Shein V'Ayin is Tzarech Get Shechar. Presumably the reason why he paskins that way is because Rabbi Akiva, there are five Tanaim mentioned in the Brisa, but of the five Tanaim mentioned in the Brisa, Rabbi Akiva is the one with the highest rank when it comes to paskining Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechaberai. So that's probably why the Rambam is following the Riff, really. That's why they decided to pass on Rabbi Akiva, that it's Tzarech Get Shechar. That's one thing that we have from the Gemara in Gittin. The second is that the Gemara over there throws a shayla, Mu'uk of Get Shechar, someone who is lacking a Get Shechar, meaning he should go free. All he's missing is a Get Shechar. And one example of that would be, well, Yosef Shein V'Ayin, maybe, according to, right, that's subject to this Machlokes Tanaim. Not according to Rabbi Tarfon, yes, according to Rabbi Akiva. So Yosef Shein V'Ayin might be an example of a Mu'uk of Get Shechar. The example, the primary example, is the Chatzi Eved, the Chatzi Ben Chevin, the Chachamim made a takana that the master should give him a Shtar Shechar, but he hasn't given it yet. So he's entitled to go free, he has a din that he's supposed to go free, but he has not yet received the Shtar Shechar. So the Gemara clarifies Shaila about whether such people, Yesh like Knas, they ain't like Knas. Do they have the Knas? Which Knas? The Knas that when a Shur gores an Eved and the Eved dies. So the Baal HaShur is supposed to pay the Baal HaEved, Shleishim Shekel. This Eved that has no more obligation, no more work-related obligations to the master, he just has a shame Eved. He's also B'Vas Yisrael because he doesn't have his Get Shechar yet. Does he still have this din that if an Eved gores into death and the Baal Eved has to give the, has to give his master Shleish Shekel? That's a shayla in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tashma, bring your raya from here. The Gemara pushes off the raya. Tashma, bring your raya from there. When the raya is in our sugya, the Gemara tries. The Gemara pushes off the raya. And then the Gemara moves on. The Gemara never ends up resolving that shayla. So we call that a boya deloy of shita, a shayla that's not answered, that's not resolved. So the second thing that we have in that Gemara is that a Mugav Get Shechar, does he or doesn't he still have a Shein Eved, is an unresolved shayla, is a suffix. The first Nakuta that we had over there was that a Yaitse the Shein V'Ayin, an Eved that's entitled to go free because of the Shein V'Ayin, does he need a Shein Shechar, does he not need a Shein Shechar? That was Machalek Tanayim. So there were these two shaylas. One was Machalek Tanayim, one was an unresolved shayla. But if we put the two together, and now we talk about our case, our guy, our Eved, that was beaten up by his master. The master knocked out a tooth, and then an eye. So let's take it in slow motion. The master knocked out a tooth. At that point, he's entitled to go free. Is he in Gansen entirely a Ben Chayrin immediately, or is he still, does he need to get Shechar? That's Machalek Tanayim. But the Rambam Paskin on that Machalek Tanayim, the Rambam Paskin that he needs to get Shechar. So we would call him a Mu'uk of Get Shechar. And then, what's the din of a Mu'uk of Get Shechar? Is he like a Ben Chayrin, or is he like an Eved? Does he still have a Shem Eved? That's an unresolved Shaila. So now, let's continue, let's let the tape continue going forward, right? We had all that discussion after he knocked out the tooth. Then the master continued and he knocked out the eye. So He just knocked out the eye of someone who's a mukav get shukr. He just knocked out the eye of someone who has an unresolved suffix, whether he has a din of ben chayrin or a din of an eved. Well, if he has a din of my eved, I don't have to pay him for knocking out his eye, because I don't pay my eved for beating him up. But if he has a din of ben chayrin, then I do pay him. I owe him the me'ayin for knocking out his eye. So this question of whether I even have to pay him the me'ayin, I knocked out his tooth and then his eye, do I have to pay him the me'ayin? Is an unresolved suffix, and therefore the din is that he can't make me pay, but if he takes the money, then anyway, it's in the other. So that's the psak of the Rambam. And Hilchos Chayim L'Mazik, that if I knock out my Eved's tooth and then his eye, I don't have to pay the but if he grabs it, then basically won't take it away from him, which means essentially that there's a suffix whether I owe him that demayayin. And the basis of this suffix is these two nekudas. The Rambam paskin that his tzarech gets shukr, and there's an unresolved suffix about whether Omer Ukav gets shukr has a din of an eved or a din of a mechayim. Okay, so that's the Rambam of Chayim L'Mazik, and it's a great Rambam. If you're just learning, right, that Rambam was coming from the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Beis, and if you're just learning the Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Beis, you open up that Rambam, the Rambam said everything exactly right. That's exactly what we would have expected the Rambam to say. The problem is that the Rambam in Hilchos Avodim says that if somebody beats up his Eved, knocks out his eye, knocks out his tooth, and then knocks out his eye, so the Eved goes free for the loss of the tooth, and then the Nisin life. He went free with the tooth. So you have to pay him the demayayin. No matter what limit is, tooth and eye then tooth, arm then leg, whatever. You always have to pay him for the second eider. Now, why did the Rambam say that? Easy, because that's our Gemara. That's the brisa at the beginning of the sugya, right? When Rava back on Ayin Gimel and Beis wrote a brisa, Aminallah, right? The brisa talks about an agent that comes to Beis Din and they say the eye then the tooth, the other agents say the tooth and then the eye. So we always say that the agents Zemim are responsible for the demay ha'ayin that to one party or the other. I always think there's an assumption through all the cases of the brisa, the Reisha and the Seifa, and all the steps of the Shaka Tara, there's an assumption going through the whole sugya that if you knock out the tooth and then the eye, you have to pay him for the eye. And finally, at the very end of the Gemara, Reb Zeira actually asks about Masach Reb Zeira, why do you have to do that? And Rabbi suspects him because it's a Xerus HaKosov that says that, yeah, you have to pay for the second Eder. So our Gemara, from Ayin Gimel and Beis all the way to Ayin Dalet and Beis, there's a whole lot of Gemara revolving around this halacha, they have to pay for the second Eder. So when the Rambam in Hilchos Avodim, he writes that you not get the Eved's tooth and then he goes free with the tooth and pay him for the eye. So that Rambam is perfectly reasonable based on what it says in our Gemara. Both Rambams are perfectly reasonable based on one particular Gemara. Frech the Raivid, but the Rambam can't have it both ways. The Rambam said in Hilchos Chayim L'Mazik that I don't have to pay the Demei Ayin after the tooth, then the eye. I don't have to pay the Demei Ayin. How can the Rambam say in Hilchos Avodim that I do have to pay the Demei Ayin? That's the Raivid's kasha. So what we left off yesterday is that we want to turn to the Rambam and say, okay, fine. So you feel that the Rambam and Hilchos Chayim L'Mazik has a problem. That right, the Rambam and Hilchos Chayim L'Mazik said that I don't have to pay the Demei Ayin, but you're tithing that it's muhach that I do. Okay, so tell me, go back to the Gemara and give me, where did the Rambam go wrong? The Rambam said, look, I have this Yaitse B'Shem V'Ayin with his Machalikis Tanayim, whether he's Tzarekat Shukr or ain't Tzarekat Shukr, and the Rambam passing like Rabbi Akiva, that he's Tzarekat Shukr, and then I have a Shaila in the Gemara whether a Mu'ukav Get Shukr is considered an Eved or is considered a Menachayim, and the Gemara never resolves the Shaila. So the Rambam B'Chayim did write for Paskining that it's a suffix whether he owes him the Demei Ha'ayin or not, and if it's a suffix, so he doesn't have to pay it. So how does the Rambam, that I'm saying, the Rambam says that, I quote the Rambam red-handed, the Rambam, there's a steer in the Rambam, okay, something's wrong in this Rambam. But Rambam, isn't the steer between the two Gemaras? So how do you resolve the two Gemaras? So we don't really know for sure. As far as I know, I'm not aware of anywhere in the Rambam's own writing where he addresses the steer. But there's one of two easy solutions. Either, this is probably the easiest, the Rambam would say that the question of whether Yetzir Shem Ba'ayim needs a Shtar Shechar or not, which was Machlekes Tanayim. So, how do you know which way to paskin? So he said the Rambam paskin Tzarech Get Shechar. He picked that one. Why? So he said before why the Rambam is following the Rif. Why the Rif picked that one? So the Rif tells us why. Because Rabbi Akiva was on that side. It was a big race, so there were a lot of names. Rabbi Akiva was on that side. Halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechavera, usually we pass like Rabbi Akiva. He has higher rank in Halacha than other Tanayim. So they pass like Rabbi Akiva. But maybe that's debatable. First of all, because that usual rule is when it's a straight up one against one Machalikis. Over here, there are a whole bunch of Tanayim on each side. Also, I'll throw in this. If you take a look at the Bryce again, we didn't see, if you didn't see the inside of the game, but there is a description in that Bryce that calls one of the sides Hamachriyim, which maybe the rabbi felt that that side has more Samchus. But putting that aside, maybe more importantly, maybe the rabbi felt that, you're right, if you just have a Machalik Tanayim and you don't know which way to pass him, you pass him like Rabbi Akiva. But over here, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, then our Braisa, which says that you nicely deme ena, would be a raya that a mukum gets shechar ein like knas. And the Gemara called it an unresolved shayla. The Gemara was never questioned that shayla. So the only way that the Braisa shouldn't be a raya to that shayla is if you pass like a tarfin. So for that reason, maybe the raya that held that it's more misabed to pass like a tarfin. Again, we don't know why, but what we could suggest is that the right that held you should pass like a tarpin, that a mukum get shechar, that a yoytze b'shem v'ayin ain't tzarech get shechar. And then, it's very simple why he's entitled to the may ayin. I knocked out his tooth, that's it, he's free. He's entirely free. He could go right now and marry a Bas Yisrael. I'm sure he could find a Bas Yisrael that doesn't mind that he's missing a tooth. Let him marry a Bas Yisrael right now, right after he loses his tooth. So he's completely a ben chayim. He's not a mukum get shechar at all. That's why if he then gets hit in the eye, and the eye is knocked out, so the other has to pay him like a regular ben chayim. Our price makes perfect sense, that he has to pay the demeya ayin, and he goes free with the shame, and he gets the demeya ayin. And the reason is because of yoytze b'shem v'ayin, ain't it tzarech get shechar. He doesn't need to get shechar, like a tarfin, not like a Rabbi Akiva. That's probably the simplest way to go of how the Ravid would argue with the Rambam and help the Mazik. He would say that we should pass like a tarfin, and therefore the Yetzir B'Shem V'Ayin never needs to get shechar at all. Another possibility is that he holds Tzak like Rabbi Akiva, that this is a Mukub get shechar, but he paskins that a Mukub get shechar is considered a Ben Chayim. The Gemara clarified the Shaila, and the Gemara would never appreciate it. But maybe the Ravid held that although the Gemara in Gittin never came to a Maskana, but our Gemara, which takes on as a Devar Pasha, that you pay the Demei Ayin, let that be a Raya to that Shaila. So again, I don't want to get too much into the Pratim on that. There's two possibilities. The Ravid either he'll hold that the Halacha is that Yetzi V'Shem Ayin ain't Tzarech Get Shechar, or he'll hold that a Mukub Get Shechar ain't like Knas, and he's considered a Ben Chayin. But bottom line, what we do have to know is that the Ravid held that the Din should clearly be that if you're not going to tooth in an eye, you have to pay him for the eye. Because he's considered a Ben Chayin, and you have to pay him for the eye. And the Rambam in Hilchas Avodim also says that. But the problem is the Rambam in Hilchas Eidus says, I'm sorry, the Rambam in Hilchas Chayvul Mazik said not like that. The Rambam in Hilchas Chayvul Mazik clearly said that it's only a subject whether you're Chayv to pay the Demei Ayin, and therefore the dinner that you're really part of, but he tells us like a Pekinu Minei. So how can you shim the two Rambams? And that's the Rambam's counsel. So we explain what the Rambam's position is, but the Rambam says, but the Rambam is contradicting himself. How can we be Miyashu the Rambam? So the Kesef Mishnah, hopefully you took a look at the Kesef Mishnah that was on the Maram HaKoyim Mishit. The Kesef Mishnah says that he really has two suggestions, both of which are big doiching. I'm going to skip the first one and just go with the second one. The Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam in Hilchos Chagiga Mazik, he told us his real shita. That it's really a suffix whether you owe the Demei Ayin, and since it's a suffix, you don't have to pay it. He tells them a fee. Really, you're putter, just the Evid has the right to grab it if he can, but if he doesn't get it, you know, you don't have to give it to him. Why did the Rambam here in Hilchos Avodim say nice and like to me, Einoi? So there's a Mishnah, he didn't really mean they have to pay the Dmei Ayin. He just meant that if the Eved grabbed the Dmei Ayin, he could keep it. When the Rambam says the Naisin Lai Dmei Einoi, he didn't mean that you're Vadech Hayev to give him Dmei Einoi, he meant that there's a Suffolk Chiev to give him Dmei Einoi. Why would he mention a Suffolk Chiev? A Suffolk Chiev is Potter, so why does Rambam even say it? No, he means that if the Eved grabs it, he could keep it. Now, obviously, it's a terrible legend in the words. I mean, anybody that's reading this Rambam, you know, if I'm the Dayan, and I'm reading the Rambam, the Naisin Lai Dmei Einoi, so I'm going to paskin that you have to pay with Dmei Ayin. The Rambam wrote Naisin Lai Dmei Ayin, and he really meant that I should paskin that you don't have to give the Dmei Ayin, but if the Eved grabs the Dmei Ayin, he could keep it. So the Gezer Mishnah will tell me that the Rambam was hoping that the Dayanim, at least, would learn all the Rambams before they paskin. And I'll know from the Rambam Hilchos Chayav Lamazik that when he says over here Naisin Lai Dmei Ayin, he doesn't mean it literally. He just means that if the Eved grabs it, he could keep it. Okay. It's a doichik. Obviously, you know, it's a doichik. It's not a good reading of the Rambam, but you have to do something, right? There's a steer between two Rambams. Maybe we'll go on right, at the end of the shir, Mr. Shabbat, hopefully we'll see a different resolution. But the Kesef Mishnah says, look, I'm willing to accept a doichik because I have a steer between two Rambams. You got to do something. So when the Rambam says, it's not Kesef Adem, Naisin Lai Dmei Einoi, he doesn't mean you have to pay the Dmei Einoi. He just means that the Eved is allowed to grab the Dmei Einoi. Fine. I have a kasha on that. On the Rambam and Hilchos Avodim, okay, you can get away with it. Like I said, it's not a beautiful reading of the Rambam, but you can't always get a beautiful reading, you know, when you can't, when there's no great reading, so you take a less good reading. I hear you could say that. Rambam says, "Naisin Lai Dmei Einoi," and it just means that if the Eved grabbed the Dmei Einoi, he could keep it. The problem is, though, that this halach of the Rambam, that Naisin, like that he goes free with the shein and then you give him the Dmei Einoi, Rambam didn't say it once. Rambam said it twice, right? One in Hilchos Avodim, and the other one is in Hilchos Eidos. In Hilchos Eidos, so we were always putting those two Rambams together. In both places, you have both of them on your mind. Same sheet, Rambam in Hilchos Eidos also says that Ha'adayin, again, if they were made al plainu shehipol shein av derechach simei es inoi, they said that he knocked at the tooth and then the eye, and they were hizmu, so they paid the adayin the dmei eved because they were conspiring to make the eved go free, so they paid the dmei eved udmei inoi, and they were conspiring to make him pay for the eye, so then they were really saving him, so they have to pay him the Dmei Ha'ayin. So over there, we see again that the Rambam holds, right, we see in those words of the Rambam the same halacha, that if a master knocks out a tooth and an eye, so that it goes free, and then you pay the Dmei Ha'ayin. But now, what's the Kesef Mishnah going to say? Over here, if the Kesef Mishnah is going to try the same thing, which he does, because the Kesef Mishnah speaks that over there also, really. But if we're going to try to plug in this pshat of the Kesef Mishnah over there, then it doesn't really mean that the master does have to pay. It just means that the Eved is allowed to grab it, and if the Eved gets it, he can get away with it. Why would that make the Eidim Zeimim chayav to pay the Dmei Ayin? The Eidim Zeimim should pay for whatever their Eidus was going to do. They came in and they said that the master knocked out the Eved's tooth and then eye. So Basin was going to paskin that the Eved should go free. And the Dmei Ha'ayin, you don't have to pay, but if the Eved grabs it, he could keep it. So, okay, then they were Nimsu Zeimim and Vasizim like Hashem Zaman Lassavach. Now they have to pay whatever cost they were going to cause. So what were they going to cause exactly? They were going to cause, meaning if they had gotten away with their evil Eidos, so what would have been the din? That the master has to let the Eved go free. Okay, for that they owe him the value of the Eved. And the Dmei Ayin, he'd have to put under lock and key, right? The Dmei Ayin, he could hold on to, but the Eved could try to grab. So now, for creating that halacha, they should have to pay the Dmei Ayin. Is that called Deu Machayev him in the Dmei Ayin? probably he wasn't going to lose the Mayim, right? All he has to do is change the password on his account, and then the Eved wouldn't be able to grab it. But, you know, he has to try to protect it. If the Eved outsmarts him, the Eved would get the Mayim. If the master is able to protect his money, then the Eved won't get the Mayim. We don't know if he would have or he wouldn't have. Now we're applying to the Edim, by Azizim HaKashav Zaman, whatever the master was going to lose from your Edim, that's what you have to pay. Why would that halacha include that they should have to pay the Mayayin? The Mayayin, there's a small chance that the master might have lost it. So why should that go into the Kashav Zaman? If the whole din of the master, the Rambam has avoided and tells us, what's the din? When the master knocks out the Eved's tooth in the eye, and the Rambam says he goes free and he pays the Mayayin, but the Kashav Zaman says it doesn't really mean he pays the Mayayin, it really means that he goes free, and then there's a chus tfisa on the Mayayin, that the Eved has an opportunity to grab the Mayayin if he can get away with it. So now, if Edom came and they created that halacha, that precise halacha, that the Eved goes free and has a chus tfisa on the Mayayin. So for that, their kashrus zamam should be that they pay the Dmei Eved and the Dmei Ayin? Why should they pay the Dmei Ayin for that? So, and so the truth is that what some want to say is that when we try to apply the same reading into the Rambam and Hilchos Edus, what it means is really that the Edim aren't chayav Dmei Ayin, the Edim are chayav to the Odin with Dmei Eved. And then the Odin has a chus tfisa on the Dmei Ha'ayin. But even that is not really so, even that's schwer. Why should there, he's in, I understand on the Dmei Ha'ayin, well, in the first entire, there's a suffix. It's chus tfisa when there's a suffix. They came and they were made, and he knocked out the tooth and then the eye. What's the din of such a case? Well, the Gemara calls a shayla, and the Gemara doesn't know, so it's a suffix. So that made a din of so the din by itself, the Rambam holds that this is chus tfisa. The Edim Zemim also have a suffix. We know what they were being mechayev. They were being mechayev Dmei Eved and a chus tfisa on Dmei Ayin. So is that called that they were mechayev mamayim there on Dmei Ayin? So it's not pashut why there should be any din of Dmei Ayin on the Edim Zemim. If the Nidoin wasn't going to have to actually pay the Dmei Ayin. So the Ksaita Chayshin has a long discussion about this, which I'm sort of not really doing justice to the Kasha because we can't go into his whole long Chakira that he makes this Tully on. But basically, he has a whole bunch of places in Shas where you have this kind of situation where one has a chus tfisa, is that equivalent to having a real right? Is that really called mamayin, or is that not equivalent to having a real right? And it has various nafkaminas. Each one will be a little bit complicated, and we'll leave that out. We'll just call it a kasha. Why, if the Ketzavish's reading is right, that nitzin lo dmei eino really just means that there's a chus tfisa on the dmei ayin, why would they even b'chayav anything for that? So the Ksois, not in the Sefer Ksais HaChayshin, but the Ksais HaChayshin is the author of Tisvarim. On Chayshin Mishpat, his Sefer is called Ksais HaChayshin, that's the main Sefer. He also wrote a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer, which is called Avnei Miluim. And in the Avnei Miluim, at the end of Simen Tzadi Ches, he proposes a teretz based on the Migdal Oiz in Hilchos Edus, who says a very interesting, a very geshmaki yisoy for the whole sugya of Edom Zeimim. This is, you know, we're knee deep into Edom Zeimim, right? We've been learning it for quite a few weeks already. There's a Miguel Oiz here who says a svara in Hilchos Edom Zeimim. We're going to just talk about it applying it in this particular case, in Miyashiv, this Rambam, but it's really a very fundamental idea that could theoretically have lots of ramifications, kind of applications maybe in different places in the sugya. Before I say it over, first, the footnote on your Maram Mekai Mishi. I wrote over there in the footnote, who is this? So I want to answer a little bit. Okay, there's a Sefer Migdal Oiz, which is printed in all standard editions of the Rambam on the bottom of the page, or on the side of the page. There's a Pirush from Migdal Oiz. He's one of the earlier Mefarshei HaRambam. He was a Talmud of the Rashba. He lived around the year 1300. Which makes him definitely from the earliest Mefarshei, not the earliest, but from the earliest Mefarshei Rambam. The Ramach was earlier, the Magen Mishnah was a little bit earlier. But he's right up there. You know, he's in the early... He lived in Spain, in Barcelona, where the Rashba lived. He was a Talmud of the Rashba. And his name is Reb Shem Tov, Ibn Avram. Now, the interesting thing about this Migdal Oyz is as follows. I would never tell this on my own. The Shach writes this. A lot of Achrayim say this. There's a Shach, I think it's in Lamed Ches, that speaks this out rather sharply. I'll just mark them with a mashal. Just because somebody puts on a white coat, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a doctor. You have to have qualifications before we call you a doctor. So in a similar way, the Shach says that just because somebody was teaching Torah in the 1300s, that doesn't necessarily make him a Rishon. You had great people that were teaching Torah in the 1300s, and you had smaller people that were teaching Torah and not as well. And the Shach says that we don't consider the Migdal Oyz to be a Rishon. He's given us a whole sefer, you can go through it, and it ain't very impressive. So the Shach says he's not the only one. A number of Achrayim make this ta'ara that lots of times, and the whole sefer really comes to defend the Rambam. He was a pro-Rambam person. He was coming to defend the Rambam from the Hasagas of the Raivid. But most of the time, he doesn't really add anything so substantial, and he just says, "Oh, the Kash is not sure because look what it says in the Gemara," and he brings down the Gemara the Rambam is based on. Okay, thank you, but the Raivid had this Kasha, you know. Let's resolve something. And a lot of times he doesn't really add much to the discussion. So the way, it's nevertheless, the Shach writes this, the Marshal Kedarkei writes even strong, you know, he writes very strong expressions criticizing people that follow the Migdal Oyz. And generally speaking, you don't find him used as an authority. You know, usually we shame him if somebody, you know, the Rishonim's Torah, the Achrayim come to learn up Rishonim's Torah, right? We try to, if there's a Shver Rambam, or a Shver Rashba, or a Shver Taisis, or a Shver Rabban, so the Achrayim, Abtais Achayshin, Ashach, would try to figure out how to be Miyashabit. The Migdal Oyz never gets that treatment. Oh, I don't like to say much, never, but generally speaking, people don't feel Meshubit to be Miyashabit for Shver Migdal Oyz. But at the same time, when he says something which the Achrayim find useful, so then they'll use it. Meaning that the Dvar Torah from the Migdal Oyz is only as good as the Dvar Torah itself. The Dvar Torah from the Ramban, even if you look at it and you think, "Yeah, I don't like that Dvar," but it's the Ramban. But the Dvar Torah from the Migdal Oyz doesn't go like that. If you like it, good. If you don't like it, you know, then you don't need it. That's okay. That's our Hakdama. If you take a look at the Shach, I think it's Siman Lamed Ches, who writes this to the Marshal in his Hakdama to Bava Kamma. The Yom Shel Shlomo Hakdama to Bava Kamma. He has some words there about the Migdal Oyz. Given that Hakdama, so I want to say with the kids of what Avni Lulum over here brings on the Migdal Oyz. I think we have it here on the back of my Mokeva sheet. The Migdal Oyz and Hilchos Eidos says Yishlanu Loima, just the part that's in bold. Time is a Talmud of Mishum the Tal Rachmana Dinon b'Machshavtan. There's the Yisoyin and Eidos Eimim. Eidos Eimim is a very unique parasha. It's the only place really where people are punished for an intention. They're punished because they wanted to do bad. Remember, Eidos Eimim or Kasher Zaman, but like Kasher Asa, they never cause any harm to anybody. These Eidim Zaymim, right, they came in and said that Reuben killed Shimon, and then other Eidim come, and it was Nigmar Din, but then other Eidim come and say, Imam Yisim Bakum Plani, so they get put to death. Why? For what they did to Reuben. What did they do to Reuben? Reuben and Mice is walking around, he's not dead. They're going to be put to death for conspiring, for intending to have killed Reuben. So Zot the Migdal Oyz, that means that when it comes to Eidim Zaymim, we're much more interested in the intention than in other parishes in the Torah. Right? Usually, right, in all other areas of Dine Mamanis, we're interested in bottom line. Did money change hands? Was there a real chiyuv? Was there not a real chiyuv? If somebody makes a din of itavas by nafkinamine, maybe that's not called a real chiyuv. L'mashal, one of the examples from this chakira, the Tzeis HaChoshen was very busy with a situation where if you know the halacha, again, if you learn once Baba Metzia or other places, if you're familiar with the halacha of a moedim of excess, if somebody is moedit to part of the taina, then he's kind of shvu on the other part. That's the din of a moedim of excess. So the question comes to chakira. If somebody was moedit to, he made a haidah, but the haidah doesn't actually make him pay any money, it just gives the other party the right to be taitis. Is that called he made a haidah? And that's the. That's one nachmina from this chakira, and there are others also. But again, the Tzeis has this din about whether a din that tfisa helps, is that called a real din mamon or not? So it could be that a kolatar pool, it's not called a din mamon. Like I was a din of mamon, it's not called that I was mighty anything, so I didn't really get any rights anything. But when it comes to Edom Zemim, the most important factor is what do they mean to do? And since over there, and if they meant to be mechayev dmei ayin, then that's the thing for them to be chayav me'ayin. You still need that itav that there is a din tfisa. Meaning, if they just had this crazy idea that had no basis in halacha, if they thought, let's say they thought that if Reuben breaks Shimon's window, he has to buy him a new car. Let's say they thought that, and so they came in and they said that Reuben broke Shimon's window. We're not going to say that now they have to buy Reuben a new car because that's a thought that has no basis in halacha altogether. But over here, they came in and they said it was the tooth and then the eye. And their intention clearly was to be mechayev the adayin that the eved should go free and you should have to pay him his me'ayin. And there's some basis to what they were thinking. The fact is, the shaila and the gemara about it, and the din of the tavas on the kinamine. They really did give the eved a certain zchus in that me'ayin. Even though that certain zchus is not really enough to be called a chiyuv mamon in other areas of the Torah, but for Edom Zemim, where we're much more interested in what they were thinking, what they were conspiring. So here they conspired to mechayev the me'ayin and waschal, at least b'miksas, that is chus tfisa on me'ayin and waschal, that's enough to be mechayev them in the me'ayin. That's the first thing that he's mishum the tola rachmona dinon b'machshavton. That since the Torah made the din of Edom Zemim, I'm telling on their intention, so over here we could consider, we can make them chayev for the me'ayin. Okay, but that's all, just to put this back into perspective, that's all going with the Kesef Mishnah's Mahalach and being Miyashiv the Rambam. Again, we have two Rambams. The Rambam, the Master knocks out the two, and then the eye. In Chayvul Mazak, the Rambam says that you don't have to pay the Dmei'ayin. It's just the Tefas of Kinim, but you don't really have to pay. But the Rambam, the Savad, says you do have to pay the Dmei'ayin. So it's a series, right? It says the Rambam is caught red-handed. He's contradicting himself. So the Kesef Mishnah says that all he really meant in Elkas Avadim was that, not that you really have to pay, but that you tell us like a kinamine. We have a problem, it's a difficult reading in any Rambam, but we had a particular problem, how do you see that into the Rambam Hilchos Eidos, and why should they even be chayav for that? So to that, we have this idea from the Migdal Oiz, that maybe there's a special svara of Tal Rachmana Dina B'machshav. But now, what I want to do is a whole different mahalat in the Rambam.
That's the end of the
Avnimurim. A whole different mahalach from the Rambam, which ironically is also totally in the Migdaloids. It might be the first time in all my years giving shir that I spoke out of Migdaloids, and today I'm speaking at two. Okay. But the Migdaloids in Hilchas, that one was Hilchas Edis. The Migdaloids in Hilchas Avadim has a different yishuv. Again, that first one was going along the lines of the Kesef Mishnah. The yishuv for the Rambam is that all the Rambam really have a mentor, the Tavos Mefkinimine. And then we just needed some help for how to make that work in Hilchos Eidos, and that was the Migdal Oiz in Hilchos Eidos. But the Migdal Oiz in Hilchos Avodim says that maybe there's a better terrace to the theory of the Rambam. The Rambam in one place said that if you knock out the tooth and then the eye, you don't have to pay for the eye. That was Hilchos Chayvul Mazik. And in another place, he said, if you're not going to the tooth and then the eye, you do have to pay for the eye. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Avadim. So the Migdal Oiz says that it's going in two different cases, two slightly different cases. And he tries to show that it's meduyik a little bit in the wording of the Rambam. The Yukim are very debatable, the Yukim. But maybe there's a basis for it in the Lashon on the Rambam. But he wanted to say, Al Kapanim to be Miyashit Basira, that the Rambam is going in two different cases. The Rambam, but listen very carefully to how he sets up the two cases, because I'm hoping that you have a very bad reaction to this. Listen carefully to the way he sets it up. The Rambam of Chag L'mazeh, who says that you don't have to pay, he talks about Mefkinim and Ebed, we don't make the other pay, that if in between there was a Hamad Medin. I mean, it wasn't like we sometimes describe it, a 1-2 punch, right? Knock out the tooth and then knock out the eye. On Sunday, he knocked out the Ebed's tooth. And the Eved brought him to Basin, and Adam came, and Basin passed him, and he had to let him go free. And that was on Monday. And then on Tuesday, he had another fight with him, and he knocked out the Eved's arm. On that, Zok the Rambam, that he pays, that he goes free off the tooth, and else the eye, ain't a nice thing, but he taught us like a kinuminei. The Rambam of Nachas Avadim is talking about where there was no Hamad Avadim. It was the 1-2 punch that we talk about, right? He beat him up, he knocked out his tooth, and right with his left fist, and then he pinned him in the face with his right fist, and he knocked out his eye. There the Rambam says, you do pay the me'ayin. Now, what do you think of that? What should strike you, again, never mind whether it's a good terrorist or bad terrorist, but going in the wrong direction. Meaning, our thought process the whole time is that the seema to be chayav is it, well, what's the tzad that you're chayav if we call him a ben chayim? If he's already free, right, if we say that by knocking out the tooth that made him into a ben chayim, and then when I punched him a second later, I was punching a ben chayim, oh, so he's chayav. But if on the tzad that he's still an eved, that's more of a seema to be putter. Right, the assumption all along, right, go back to yesterday's shiur, we were talking about Zeir's Kasha, and Abaye's answer was all about Rabbi Kadega's Hakira, is the Shechar Chal Mafreya, or is it not Chal Mafreya? Because our mindset has been that when you beat up a Ben Chayrin, you have to pay for that. When you beat up an Eved, you don't have to pay for that. This case, where you knock out his tooth and then you knock out his eye, at that moment, the knock out his eye, was he considered a Ben Chayrin? Then you shut the paper. Was it considered an Eved? You shouldn't have to pay for it. And we can hear two ways of looking at that. And the Rambam, he won't call it a suffix. And the Rambam says, no, the Dinah is a Ben Chayrin. So he gets it in the Ayin. But the tzad to get paid was always, if he's a Ben Chayrin. The more he looks like a Ben Chayrin, the more inclined we are to say Chayrin. The Migdal Ayin comes in and says, what seems like a crazy star. Because he comes in and he says, that if there was already Hamad Medin, then you're Potter, whatever, it's a suffix, you tell us the Kinamine. But if there was no Hamad Medin yet, then you're Chayav. Now, if there's no Hamad Medin yet, that's more of a reason to consider him a what?
Potter.
Before the Hamad Medin is more of an Eved. Right? If in one case he's more of an Eved, that's before the Hamad Medin. And the Migdal Ayin says, and the Rambam and Hilchos Avodin that says that you're chayav in the me'ayin, that's because it was before that might have been. He just knocked him in the tooth and then the eye, then you're chayav in the me'ayin, because before that might have been. But in Hilchos Chayav Lamazik, but after that might have been, so then there's a subject whether you're chayav or not, and then there's an innocent of the Tavis on the Pekinu Minei. So it sounds like his mamash got it all backwards, right? So sure enough, the Taz over here at the Talacha, says exactly that. The Taz says he's got it all backwards, and he doesn't mind, you know, because like I said, Afrayim don't feel meshubit to make every shtickle work in the Migdal Ayin. So the Taz says this doesn't make any sense. This because he's got it all backwards. Let's say I accept that he won't, you know, in the reading of the Rambam, this is talking about in one case, it's talking about in another case. Maybe he has a good deed, maybe he doesn't. But it's Ibchum Safra, right? If this is talking about before the Madhavid, then that he's even less chayav. Dafka, the one where the Rambam says Chayim, that's what we have before the Hamad, but that doesn't make any sense at all. So there are Achrayim that say Okay, this is from Shimon Shkrop. Shimon Shkrop says that actually in this case there's something very very deep going on in this Megalos. It means that the Rambam learned a whole different pshat in our Gemara. When the Gemara said, Rav Zeira asked, why you chayav over here the Dmei Ayin, and Abaye said back to Malacha Amar Kro, there's a Gzeiras HaKosov that says that you're chayav. It's not, the way we were learning yesterday, based on the place, right, we said the place in Bava Kamalam, and Gimel seemed to be learning this way, is that Abaye was telling him back that there's a Gzeiras HaKosov that says that the knas of the shechrer is really chal mafreya, see who is really free already, and then when he hit him the second time, he was hitting him in chayrin, and that's where he has to pay. Now, the lotion of the gzeres akasov is a little bit hard to read that way, right? It says, what does it say in the pasuk? It says that ki yake ish esein avdoi v'shichasa. And on that, the Rabbi Darshan's Takas Einoi, Vloy Takas Einoi Vishinoi. That means to be saying that he goes free already. It's talking about when the Shukr is Chal. It sounds like it's telling us Dinim within the Parsha of Avodim, about the Chi of Knas of the Eved. Zukr Pshimon, that the Rambam learned, saying the Megillah means this, but the Rambam learned that the Gzeiras HaKosov of Abaye was in Hilchas Avodah, the Knas of Shein V'Ayin. The Torah says that if you beat up your Eved, a particular kind of beating up, right? What we call Rosh Eivarim, right? The Choftal Rosh Eivarim. You dismember, you knock out one of the Eivarim. So the Torah says there's a Knas for that. What Knas? What's the Knas? That is Yotzei L'Chayrus. Okay, that's if you do it once. What if you do it twice? So, if I do that which is mechayev me, the knas, I knock out my eved's eye or tooth. But I don't just do it once, I do it twice. So then, what's the knas for the second one? The Torah says there's a knas when I knock out my eved's a tooth or eye. What's the knas for the second one? It can't also be a shechur because I never can't get two shechurs. So what's the knas for the second one? For the second one, the knas is d'mei ha'ayin. That you have to pay him for that either. But it's not the pshat because he became a ben chayrin and now he has the din of a ben chayrin and so of course you have to pay him because he's a regular ben chayrin. He's still an eved. The Torah is writing that on an eved there's a din that for knocking out the Rosh Eivarim there's a knas. And this there's a class that teaches me that if you do a second one, then the knas changes forms. Instead of the knas being a shukr, the knas becomes cash. You have to pay him for the ayin. But it's not the chiyuv of a chayv l'bachaveirai. It's not because he's a ben chayrin now. If he became a ben chayrin, then fine. Then the parsha of Avodim is over. Treat him with the hilchas chayv l'bachaveirai. This is not a din of chayv l'bachaveirai. This is a din of shein v'ayin. This is a knas that comes from the parsha of shein v'ayin. But Abaye is being mechadish that the parsha of Shein v'Ayin, you think there's just one knas in that parsha. So he says, if you knock out your Eved, Shein or Ayin, he goes free. Really, if you read carefully, Takas Einu, V'loi Takas Einu V'Shinu, Takas Shinu, V'loi Takas Shinu V'Einu, there's really two knases in the parsha. The Torah says that if you knock it once, he goes free. If you knock it twice, while he's still an Eved, then he goes free, plus he gets a Tashlumin. But that Tashlumin is a special Tashlumin that's mechadish in the parsha of Shein v'Ayin. There's lots of nafkaminas, because we know, and we've mentioned some of these details already, there's big differences between the parsha of Shein V'Ayin and the regular din of Chayv V'Chaveira. For example, in the parsha of Shein V'Ayin, right, that which never goes free, I think I mentioned once, but let's say a Matthew Golden already beats up his Eved. He beats him up really badly, but what happens is that is all black and blue, and he has broken bones. Which have to be set and heal. I just got to go say broken leg. Does he go free for that? No. It has to be, there's two conditions. We learn how do me the shein, do me the ayin, it has to be mum shebegaloi the ene chayzer. Let's just focus on the ene chayzer part, right? If you knock out an eye, or for that matter, you blind his eye, you take away the eyesight, and it's never coming back. So for that, there's the din that is yetzel chayrus.
right? He's not going to do that. He's never coming back. He gets the cheres. But if you just give him a black eye, and now it's all puffy, so he can't see out of it because it's swollen, but in a week he'll be fine. There's not yetzel cheres for that. Zokim Shimon, so it's just like not yetzel cheres for that. He also doesn't get the second counts for that. So that means that if, let's say, you knock out the tooth, and then you not, and then you give him a black eye, so you're not going to have this din of yetzel cheres. If he was a ben chayrin, so he'd get whatever a chayrin l'chaver. When you give somebody a black eye, so okay, obviously it's not a huge amount of money because it only lasts for a short time. But whatever the effect is, there is some value to a black eye. There's an ethics that you have some bishas involved, and that's what you pay. But that's only for a ben chayrin. This guy's not a ben chayrin because he didn't have the mud of a din yet. If he had the mud of a din, then he'd maybe be a ben chayrin. Then he goes into the parish of chayrin l'chaver. But he didn't have the mud of a din yet, so he's still an eved. And an Eved, a black eye, there's no din of a black eye in an Eved. But if you knock it out, then there is a din. There is a din of Rashi Evarim, that if you take away one of the Eved's Chafdal Rashi Evarim, then there's a Knas. Now, the Knas that you're familiar with is that he's Eitzel Cheres. But a Bayu is Mechadish, there's a second Knas. If he already has that ticket, he already has a Chos to be Eitzel Cheres, and then you knock out an eye, so that he's entitled to the Dmei Ayin. But it's only if you knock out the ox, and it has to be one of the varim, it has to be the crime of an injury that has a din of shein ayin. Also, the lashon of the pasuk is kiyat elosh shein avde shein amasai v'shichasa, and the Gemara Kedushin learns from v'shichasa that it has to be with kavana. As I think there's a whole shock of the entire day, exactly how much kavana, not necessarily it has to have been malicious kavana, but it couldn't have been an inadvertent ayin shav, the details, but it has to have been with kavana. If let's say you're just, you know, you're working on the farm and he's working with you and you're operating the forklift and you turn and he's in the wrong place and you didn't see him, the rear view mirror was broken and you knock out his eye. There's no din of being Eitzel Cheres for that. On the other hand, if you do that with a Ben Chayrin, with a rule in Baba Kama, the Adam Muad La'ilam, there's no Ptura Aines in the Zikin between one person and another. If I crash, inadvertently, I'm driving well, driving carefully, but then I crash into another car. So, I did the crashing, not him. So even if it wasn't my fault, I was driving within the speed limit, but it was in my blind spot. If I crash into somebody's car and I injure him, I'm chayav. Chayav b'chaveri doesn't have any tour. Oines doesn't have any requirement that it be done b'kavana. But in the parish of Shein Ba'ayim, there's a din of a shichasa. So Zokim Shimon, here again. This din of Dmei Einoi that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodim, that if you're mapilas shinoi v'akach simeis enyo, you're doisily dmei enyo, it means only if it was done with kavan. Because again, it's not coming from the parish of Chavim Chaveiroi. It's coming from the parish of Shein V'ayin. And that's why it's dafka if it's before the Hamad of Adin. If it's after the Hamad of Adin, so now he's already Ben Chayrin. Except he's not 100% Ben Chayrin, he's Mu'ukov Get Shechrer. So that's going to be totally on that suffix of Hukav Get Shechrer, Yesh Layin, is he considered an Eved, is he considered a Ben Chayrin? And that's why the Rambam over there paskins that you don't have to give it, but in Tavas Eim, it's seen the other day. That's talking about the regular Tashlum of Rechav Mechavei, right? It's after the Hamad of a Din, but he doesn't have a Shter Shechrer yet. So he no longer has a Din of an Eved, a Din of Shein V'ayin. But does he really have a din of Ben Chayrin? That's a suffix, and it's an unresolved suffix, and the Rambam passes on that, that the Tavas Lame of Kinim in there, right? Ain't he? No, he's like, but I'm talking to him and see him in Menu. That one is after the Hamad Medin. So he's no longer in Eved, he's no longer in the Parsha of Shein V'ayin. But the Rambam of Zavadim is talking about where it's before the Hamad Medin. Before the Hamad Medin, he's still your Eved. And there, when the Rambam says, No, he's like, he meant this new Knas that Abayim was Machadish. That if you do the machayim of Shein V'ayin a second time, you do it once, the Eved goes free. If you do it a second time, before he went free, what do you mean before he went free? He's already entitled to go free. He's entitled to go free. The Hamad Medin yet. The Chiyuv Knas is only chal at the time of the Hamad Medin. So if you hit him a second time before the Hamad Medin, so he's entitled to a Knas because he's still your Eved, with the Hamad Medin. So he's entitled to a knas, but what's the knas going to be? You can't say, oh, he should go free, because he already got that. He already was in that knas. It didn't go into effect yet, but he already has that ticket. So then the Torah is mechadish another knas. That's the knas of Dmei Ayin. So that's why, like the Migdal Eis says, that the Rambam and Hilchos Avodin is talking dafka before the Avodin begins. Then you know something like the Me'enoi, because he's actually in the Knas of Shein Ayin. But the Rambam and Hilchos Avodin is talking about after the Avodin begins. So then the din of Shein Ayin doesn't apply anymore. All that's left, all that's available is the din of Bechayil Bechaveiroi. And on that, the Gemara Gittin has a shayla whether this guy, he's in limbo, he's not quite there yet. Mukum get shechar, yesh le knas, yesh le knas. So does he get the din of Bechayil Bechaveiroi, the payments of Bechayil Bechaveiroi? That's an unresolved subject. So the Rambam says, Ein yinayis le me'enu, but in top of him, it's him and them. So this is, so Rav Shimon says this is a whole, the Rambam had Rambam's original reading, again, he's basing it on a Migdal Eis. I suspect he thought of it himself as we have said it without the Migdal Eis also, but okay, he brings down the Migdal Eis, basing it on this, these words of the Migdal Eis, that the Rambam of Havadah was talking about Dafka before the Havadah Bedin, then your Chayev. What? Because you're an Eved, he's an Eved, that's a new Chayev. Ah, must be it's a new Chayev, one that we never thought about before. A Chayev of a knas of Dmei Ayin to an Eved, and the Rambam of Chayev Lumazik is talking about after the Havadah Bedin, so that knas of that parsha is over. And now it's just a question of whether he gets the Tashlumin and the Hamisha Dvarim of Bechavei, right? Like a regular Bechavei, and that's totally on the suffix in the Gemara and Gittin.
Washman told him the suffix, he already had a Mother of Din.
He's had a Mother of Din, but he didn't get a Get Shechar yet. So he didn't move to Get Shechar. He's still has to be Vashti Yisrael. Now, just to sort of close the circle, come back to yesterday's discussion. We mentioned yesterday that Tais on Daf Lamed Gimel had sort of a steer in our Gemara. And Tais, like I emphasized yesterday, Tais didn't, what?
Attention?
Is that the same
attention,
yeah.
Intention?
Tension.
Oh, yeah, right. The tension between the two Gemaras. Right, Tais didn't call it Mamash Astira, right? But there's a tension between two Gemaras. But I'll say it over now, Kilu, we're calling it a stira, that the Gemara Naman Aleph says that until the Amad of Adin, he's called the Gavalav Bar Chayuva, which sounds like the Mechid Eger Svera, that a Chid Knas only goes into effect at the Amad of Adin. But then on Amad Beis, we have Abaya, Rav Zeira, came and said, you know, that there shouldn't be a Chid of Demei Ayin, but Abaya said, no, we learned from the Pazli that there's a Chid of Demei Ayin, you have to pay for the Ayin. And Tais understood, you pay for the Ayin means because he's already been Chayvin, from the time that he knocked out the shame, that means that the chiyuv knas does go into effect immediately. When you do the maizah that's machayev the knas, you become chayev the knas immediately, even if we don't know it yet, so you need a hamad of a din in order for us to know it, but once it becomes revealed, it happens retroactively that you're chayev the knas from the time that you did the maizah. That's what the Gemara Rambam Beis seems to say, that's why you pay for the Dmei Ayin, but then we were bothered, so then what's pshat of the Gemara Rambam? Why, if the chiyuv really does come from the time that you do the maizah, so why is it not called the gavur bracha yuvel in your name zayman? That was Tesis's kasha or tension. According to the Rambam, the kasha is not sure at all. Right? According to the Rambam, there's no stira in the Gemara. Adrav, the Gemara Naman Beis is concurring with the Gemara Naman Aleph. The Gemara Naman Aleph says that you're not called the Gavra Rechi Yuva until the Amad Vedin. That means, like Rabbi Gideger says, the simple reading of the Gemara is that the Chiyuv Knas doesn't come when you do the Maisa, the Chiyuv Knas only comes at the time of the Amad Vedin. The Gemara Naman Beis is 100% consistent with that. That the shikr doesn't go into effect until the Hamad Bedin. That which you have to pay for the second injury is not because he's already Ben Chayrin. Adarabba! If he was already Ben Chayrin, maybe you wouldn't even have to pay. It would be questionable. That's the something in the Gemara and Gittin. The reason why you have to pay is because he's not a Ben Chayrin. Because he's an Eved. And when you knock out the eye of an Eved, the Torah says there's a knas for that. So the Dmei Ayin in the Gemara Rambam Beis is because he's an Eved. So then the Gemara Rambam Beis is not telling us that he already became a Ben Chayrin. Taisus thought the Gemara Rambam Beis is telling us that he already became a Ben Chayrin. That's a series of the Gemara Rambam. But according to the Rambam, the Gemara Rambam Beis is not telling us that he already became a Ben Chayrin. Other Rabbah, you're chayiv this knas from the parsha of Avodim, from the parsha of Shein Ayin. So then the two Gemaras are not a stira at all. That's a big rebach that you have from this reading of the Gemara. Okay. So we end with that. And in Mitzvah Shem, next time, we'll go later, next tomorrow.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay.